Good morning. If you'd like to open your Bibles to the book of Exodus this morning, the book of Exodus, chapter 11 and 12. Exodus, chapters 11 and 12. Appreciate you being here this morning. Thank you so much. Among our guests, we're delighted to have you be with us. Thank you for being part of our assembly this morning as we've come to worship our God. Appreciate Jeff and his cooperation working with me on putting these songs together. We're focusing on for a while remembering things that God has done. And of all things that bring to our memory what God has done, there are the Passover and the Lord's Supper. And I wonder if you've ever thought about the correlation of the two, the parallels that the two have. This morning I'd like to talk about that as we approach the memorial. Food is an obvious part of our lives. Food brings to life memory. Whatever your favorite food may be, I love meatloaf, ranch-style beans, and tater tots. I just love those. One of the few things I like left over is meatloaf. There's just something about that that brings memories to me that are very precious. Maybe that's so with you. Maybe there's a food type in your life that when you smell it or you eat it, it brings to memory some occasion of joy, maybe some occasion of sadness. Well, the Lord also used food to stimulate memory. In fact, as we look at chapters 11 and 12 of the book of Exodus, they introduce to us the Passover. And in that Passover, Jesus used two elements. Actually, three things are included in the Passover feast, two of which he brings over into the Lord's Supper. That every year when the Israelites kept that feast was intended to bring to their memory what God had done in passing over the home of every Hebrew that had the blood all over the doorpost. Don't you think that when that happened, when that feast came around every year, those that had survived that, that it was a very vivid memory for them? And actually, he takes two of those things that were in every household. Not two extraordinary elements, not two extraordinary types of food, but two things that would have been in every household. Unleavened bread for a purpose, and the cup of wine for a purpose. And so we want to look at those things as we thread through and come over to the New Testament. The first thing we want to look at when we think about the supper and the signs of the Passover is we want to look, first of all, at some comparisons. How was it eaten? You look at the book of Exodus chapter 12. Begin with me in verse 1. Verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be the beginning of months, it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the children of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the year you shall make it. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you should keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh of that night, roasted in the fire, with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it till morning shall burn. You shall burn with a fire. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Notice how it was to be eaten. Notice what is said in verse 11. It is to be eaten with a belt on your waist, with sandals on your feet, with a staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. And the reason is because, there's going to come a time immediately, this is urgent, in which you are going to be asked to leave Egypt. And you need to be ready to leave. So we see, first of all, there was a sense of urgency. There was a sense of readiness with which they participated when they were to keep this Passover. The second thing I want to ask a question about is what? What was eaten? And we look back in Exodus chapter 12 and we see verse 15. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. Whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off. Look back at verse 8. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in the fire with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Notice there are three elements that are mentioned here. First of all, you have the lamb that is without spot, without blemish, that is to be roasted. Completely roasted. And they are to eat that lamb. And there's to be none that is left over for that for the next morning. And what is left over is to be burned that night. Then we find in verse 15, they are to eat unleavened bread. Unleavened bread was to remind them of the Passover that the Lord had given. But it also then came to represent, purity among the people of God. Jesus will tell his disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Paul will say that you are to what? You are to remove the leaven, lest it affect the whole lump in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. There is an impurity that is there, and you need to remain pure. So there was an impurity that was expected there. Then there was also the cup of wine. The cup of wine that was to be taken as well, and it had two or three things that were important to it. Number one was the cup of wine that was to be that with which they were to wash down the bread they had taken at this meal. But then there was the cup of joy. The cup of joy for their deliverance. And then the cup of redemption. The cup of redemption, therefore, was the memorial for the blood of the Lamb that was offered so they might be spared. And so you had that cup of wine that was offered for them there. And so you see what was eaten there. And then I want to ask the question, why was it eaten? Why was this memorial eaten? And really there are four different signposts that help us understand the why this was eaten. Remember, a memorial is for the purpose of reminding us of what we have been given. For example, we looked at the bow in the sky a few weeks ago. A memorial to the promise that God had made that he would never again destroy the earth by water. A promise that was looking forward to the coming of the Son as well, by which he would also save us. And so memorials had their purpose. The first thing we want to see about this memorial, we find in chapter 13. In chapter 13 and verse 3. Notice he says, Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of the hand of the Lord brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten there. In fact, after they partook of the Passover, they were not to eat leavened bread for a week, for 7 days. Because they were to have that feast that was there, the feast of unleavened bread that would follow the feast of the Passover to remind them of what had taken place. And notice it says here, Moses said in verse 3, remember the day in which you went out of Egypt. Turn back as well to chapter 12 and look at verse 14. Chapter 12 and verse 14. So this day you shall keep a memorial and you shall keep it as a feast of the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. So he sets this in place as a memorial. As a memorial for how the death angel had passed over the house of every Hebrew who had a firstborn in that house, and they were spared. And then it was to be a memorial to the fact that this was the day and this was the means that God used to deliver them out of Egypt. So it had the purpose of being a memorial for them. The second thing that I want you to see is that it was to offer them identification. It was to offer them identification. If you turn back, hold your marker in the book of Exodus there. Turn back, turn over with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I want Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 20 and verse through verse 22. When we think about identification, interesting how this correlates this time to Memorial Day. We looked at the value of memorials a few weeks ago before it was Memorial Day, but this obviously is Memorial Day weekend. Memorial Day weekend reminds us of the battles that have been fought and the freedom that we have. And we're reminded this day about the soldiers who gave their life on foreign fields, whose blood was spilt, whose blood was offered. Out of their own will, many went into services to fight for our freedom. Wars have sprinkled our land, sometimes needful, sometimes needless. But lives have been offered. But I never fought in a war. Perhaps we have some who are veterans here that offered their life of sacrifice and service for our country's freedom. But yet even at that, the time in which you engaged as a soldier in that battle, we are removed decades from those times. We have memorials set up around the country. On this Memorial Day, doubtless at Oahu, Pearl Harbor is being remembered for the attack that the Japanese assaulted the United States of America. A memorial is given there. Doubtless in Washington, D.C., at the Vietnam Memorial, there is a service of memory that is given there for the soldiers that were fallen, as well as the Korean monument as well. The monument at Iwo Jima. But we're removed from that. Personally, that doesn't touch me. I appreciate the fact that we have a freedom, as was offered in our prayer this morning, that we have to assemble like this, but those things don't touch me. I really have no personal connection with those things as far as personal having been involved in those things. My father was in the Merchant Marines. I don't know whether you're aware or not, but there were more men that were lost who were Merchant Marines than any other branch of service. Yet until Ronald Reagan, the Merchant Marines were never recognized as a formal branch of service. You go to Branson, Missouri. And in Branson, Missouri, they always have as a staple recognizing their veterans. They will have the theme song for every branch of service. And when that theme song is played, those who represent that particular branch of service are asked to stand. And then be seated when the next theme song comes on. But the theme song that is never played is the same theme song for the Merchant Marines. Yet again, they lost more men in their branch of service than any other branch of service. I'm connected that way because of my father, but yet I'm still removed from the time my father served in the Merchant Marines. And so were a number of these people in Deuteronomy. This is to a generation that Moses is writing who were not part of that Egyptian exodus that took place. And yet he wants them to be identified with what is taking place there. Just as we on this holiday have Memorial Day that helps us identify with the sacrifice of lives that were offered, limbs that were lost as well. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 20 through 22, listen to what he says. When your son asks you in the time to come, saying, "What is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, the judgments which the Lord our God commanded you?" Then you shall say to your son, "We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. Did you see how that began? When your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of these testimonies? You tell them, I want them to have an identification with what has taken place and the sacrifice that the Passover is a memorial to. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Look at verses 2 and 3. He says, the Lord our God made a covenant with us in Oreb. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, those who are here today, all of us who are alive. Notice again, he says, I want you to be identified with what is taking place. I realize you weren't there. I realize you are removed years from the time that took place, but I want you to have your identity connected with that. The third thing I want you to see is that this was for the purpose of instruction. We saw that in Deuteronomy chapter 6. He says, I want you to show them. I want you to tell them. And I want you to tell them again. I want you to tell the stories. We're so familiar with the written word that we think it's always been that way. But communication did not always take place via the written word. It used to be through oral storytelling. That from generation to generation, stories would be passed down orally from one to the next. And those stories of families, those stories of nations, those stories of battles would be passed down orally one to the next. And what Moses is asking them to do is that you tell them and you tell them and you tell them that story again. You teach them what these stories mean. You instruct them. You help them understand what the story is all about. It was for the purpose of instruction. But then turning back to the book of Exodus chapter 12, we see the fourth thing. It was for a future hope. Look at Exodus chapter 12 and look in verse 42. Exodus chapter 12, verse 42. It is a night of solemn observance to the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is the night of the Lord, a solemn observance for all the children of Israel throughout their generations. This was to be a memorial that had connected with it hope as well. The Exodus, a departure. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 31, speaking of the transfiguration, speaking of the time when Jesus would depart. That word depart is exodon. That is the word for departure. What that's saying is, this Passover lamb that you offered was a foreshadowing of the Passover lamb that would come and would be offered in Jerusalem. Jesus, on the night that he took the Passover, the last Passover. I know we have accommodatively made that the Last Supper. That was not the Last Supper. That was the last Passover. The Lord is going to eat with his disciples again. In fact, he says, I'll not eat this with you again until I eat with you new in the kingdom. He's going to eat that Passover feast with them again. But this is the last Passover. He said, I have desired with great desire to eat this Passover with you. Why? Because another Passover had not been eaten, because this is the last of the Passovers. The Passover had portended, it had foreshadowed the Passover lamb that would come without spot and without blemish, and the time that it would be offered in Jerusalem. And so while he says, this is for all generations, this was for future hope, that last Passover looked to the future of the Passover lamb that would be offered. There was, with that last Passover and with every Passover, a certain expectation that was to be associated with that, because it was looking not to the lamb that was offered there at that moment without spot and without blemish, but it was looking to the lamb that would be offered in Jerusalem. Christ, Paul will call the Passover lamb. It was to be a memorial with a great future and a great hope. When the children of Israel, once a year, kept this feast, this is what the Lord said he wanted to be involved in this memorial. And I want you to do that with every generation. would we call that? If succeeding generations forgot the memorial. What would we call that if they forgot the Passover memorial? Would we not think that crass ingratitude? But here is their challenge. They were not there when the Exodus took place. Yet he says, I want you to be identified with that. And I want you to never forget, it was for all generations. So what's the comparison with the Lord's Supper? When we think about the comparison of the Lord's Supper, we think back through again. What was its connection? What's the connection with the Lord's Supper? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. We'll leave Exodus now. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. And look with me at verses 26 through 29. In Matthew chapter 26 and verses 26 through 29. As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. What he's saying to them is, this is a new way. The Exodus for them, the children of Israel, was an exodus from a physical place. But what he's saying is, he's going to provide the exodus for you spiritually. There's going to be a new exodus for you. And there's going to be a new way for you in this new exodus. You're going to have your exodus, but it's going to be a spiritual exodus. That's what he's going to provide for you. A new way. And with this new way, there's going to come a new covenant. A new covenant as well. In fact, he will say that with regard to this new way and this new covenant that he's going to offer here. He will say, this is what? A covenant which is shed for many for the remission of my sins. Look back at Exodus chapter 24 just a moment. Exodus chapter 24. Look at Exodus chapter 24 and look at verse 8. Exodus chapter 24 and look at verse 8. He said, and Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people and said, this is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you according to all these words. That's the blood of the covenant of the old covenant. But now then in Matthew chapter 26, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave to them saying, drink from it all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. That blood, which was to be a cup of joy, but a cup also remembering the redemption price, the redemptive price for the purchase of our souls. And with that was to come a memorial. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you see this unfold. As Paul is writing to the Corinthians here in chapter 11, he's correcting an abuse that is taking place here. And the abuse that's taking place here is, how can you dare come to this memorial feast and make this a gluttonous feast instead of something that is a memorial to the Lord? Look at verse 21. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of the others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? That what is a statement of exclamation. It is a statement of amazement. I'm utterly amazed that you would take this memorial, which is a memorial to my covenant that I have with you. And what you have done is you have done that with this. And what have you done with this? What have you done? Do you not have houses to eat in and to drink in? Or do you not despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. For I receive from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he gave thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do as oft as you drink in remembrance of me. Do you see those two elements that were involved in the Passover? The unleavened bread. The unleavened bread that not only was indicative as a memorial of the Passover lamb that was offered, but indicative of purity. And so Jesus was the lamb without spot and without blemish that came to take away the sin of the world. But like that lamb whose blood was offered. So his blood was offered. And what he's saying to us is, I'm offering you a new way. And with that new way, I'm offering for you a new covenant. And then that new covenant, a remission of sins as well. And then he says, I also want you to be identified with this. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16. And once again, what we said with regard to the identification of the Passover is certainly true for us today. We are centuries removed from the events of the cross, are we not? Well, there may be some veterans here. We have no veterans of the cross that were here. None of us were there as eyewitnesses that day. We can't say with John, we have seen, we have heard. We're telling you what we have seen and what we have heard. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. We're people who are far removed, but what he says is, I still want you to touch that. I still want you to have an identification with that. I want your identity to be connected with what is taking place in this memorial. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body? For though we many are one bread, one body, we all are partakers of that one bread. He says, I want your identity to be rooted in that instruction. I want your identity to be rooted in that particular feast. And there's something interesting I want to observe here. I think this is important for us not to miss. The cup of blessing, that word blessing there means cup of thanksgiving. The cup of thanksgiving which he said he offered thanks for. Notice he says, which we bless. That word bless is the word for eulogize. A eulogy, you will recognize, takes place when you are praising and extolling the virtues of one. Normally, a eulogy will take place at a funeral, in which those who are officiating the funeral will have things they say in eulogy. They eulogize the deceased, and they will tell the good things that the deceased has done. They will praise the life of the deceased. But notice what he says. The cup of thanksgiving, we eulogize. I don't want to come across as hypercritical here. I just want to ask you to think for a moment. When we come to the table, what is often our prayer? Lord, bless this bread. Lord, bless this cup. Has he not already done that? What does Paul say connects us in our identity with this memorial? We bless this bread. We bless this cup. We come to this memorial and our identity is in, we praise. We speak well of what the Lord has done. We don't ask him to do what he's already done. We do what Paul says connects us with this memorial. We praise, we eulogize this bread. We eulogize this cup. We offer the praise for that. That's our connection. That's our identity. And then I want you to see as well the instruction that is there. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. If I receive from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night took, in which he was betrayed, took bread. And he said, this do in remembrance of me. Our children ask, why do you do that the first day of every week? Great question. Great teaching opportunity, right? Our young people grow up learning about the death and the sacrifice of our Lord. Great teaching opportunity. Our friends come and they come into our assembly and they see us the first day of every week. Not of every quarter, not once a year, but the first day of every week, partake of this memorial. Why do you do that? For all generations, I want you to teach them about what has been offered for us. The body of the Lamb without spot, without blemish, and that cup that is a cup of redemption and a cup of joy, a cup of blessing that we bless, that we praise, and we teach others about it. But I want you to also see that this was a cup with a future. This was a cup with a future. Look at verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes again. There's not going to be another Passover lamb. There's not going to be another Passover that is the last Passover. He desires to drink this with great desire with them. But this memorial is a memorial declaring that He will come again. Therein is our hope for the future. And just as they partook of that Passover lamb that foreshadowed the coming of the Passover lamb, that was to be for all generations a memorial to how they have been delivered from Egyptian bondage and how the angel of the Lord had passed over the house of every Hebrew. So we too must be delivered. We too must be covered by the blood of the Lamb and be delivered as well. We too have that future and that hope. We often sing this song entitled, O Father, Let Us See His Death. Oh, Father, bless this solemn day when we assemble, sing, and pray to honor Christ, Thine only Son, who tasted death for every one. In fervent prayers and sacred hymns, we cry out, remember Him. A cry within, for me He died, and for my sins was crucified. Then as we eat unleavened bread and drink the cup, we bow our head and see the suffering death of Christ, His blood, His body, sacrificed. Oh, Father, let us see His death and hear forgiven them on His breath and feel His grief, disgrace and pain, and let us see His death again. You see, our personal identification is not only with the cross and the Lord's Supper. It's a powerful reminder of our identification with one another. The partaking of one another does not validate the memorial. The memorial was validated when the Lord said, every person who is born into my kingdom has a right to commune with the king on the king's day. But when we are partaking with it with one another, what we are doing is we are identifying with one another that we too are brothers and sisters, part of this memorial feast. We share in that memorial feast together, saying we are surrounded by family. When families eat together, families are closer together. I ran across this illustration just this week to speak of this. It's entitled from a book, The Collapse of Parenting. Eat dinner with your kids. No cell phones allowed, no TV in the background during dinner. Every meal counts. In a recent survey of 26,078 Canadian adolescents from a wide range of backgrounds, urban and rural, affluent and low income, researchers asked each kid, in the last 7 days, how many days have you had a meal with a parent? Kids who had more meals with parents were less likely to have internalizing problems such as feeling sad, anxious, or lonely. They were less likely to have externalizing problems such as fighting, skipping school, and stealing, etc. They were more likely to help others and to report feeling satisfied with their own lives. The validation of the Lord's Supper comes because every citizen born in the kingdom of God has a right to commune with the king on the King's Day. But we do that together because it connects our identities as brothers and sisters to Christ to therefore validate To therefore validate not the Lord's Supper, but to validate our relationship with Him. And just like in families, when you eat that memorial meal together, there's less anxiety, there's less fear, there's less fighting, there's less fussing. Unless you turn the memorial into a common meal. As those who are going to service our memorial supper begin to take their place at the table, many of you begin to come forward, please. I want you to think about the parallels this morning. And I want you to think about the fact that this is something that we do in communion with the Lord, but something that we do together because we are family. So what are the implications? What are the implications of this memorial? Well, the first thing I would suggest to you is we eat with a sense of anticipation. Going back in your mind with me to the book of Exodus. They were to eat ready to depart Egypt immediately. They ate with their feet pointed toward the door. Wouldn't it be wonderful if next time it was the marriage supper of the Lamb of God that John talks about in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 9. That as we eat this memorial, the anticipation is next time in heaven. The second is eat with your family. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 33, Paul said, "Therefore, brethren, when you come together to eat, wait one for another." The Lord's Supper is a meal communing with the King, but it's a family meal. It's to be reminded, not only do I have a relationship with Christ, with God, but so do you. Brothers and sisters have a relationship with Him, and that then speaks of responsibility. How committed am I to God's family? Am I considerate of the needs of my brothers and sisters? Am I longing to serve their necessities? Because the meal we just ate affirms we are part of a family and we have those responsibilities. The third thing is to eat in obedience. If you look back at the plagues, through the ninth plague, there was nothing asked of the children of Israel. But when you come to the 10th plague, there was the anticipation of obedience. There was an active participation in their part. And the Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Aaron and Moses. The theme of chapter 12 of Exodus is obedience. And as they obeyed, they were covered by the blood of the Lamb. In Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 4, "Therefore we were buried with Him in baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we've also been raised. We shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." We too must be covered by the blood. Another way to say, we must be forgiven. And we contact that forgiving power of God in the blood of the Lamb by being baptized. Therefore, we are what? United with Him in the likeness of His death and the likeness of His life. Whenever we what? Are raised from the watery grave of baptism. There is the anticipation in the memorial of obedience. Obedience is the anticipation. And those who have been baptized, who have been covered by the blood of the Lamb, have this memorial. Isn't it wonderful to remember what God has done? Do you need that covering by the blood of the Lamb this morning? Then if so, why don't you come while we stand and while we sing.